Maria Brancato Accurso grew up living a child's fantasy. She and her family lived inside Fairyland Park. It started as a summer house. Eventually, they moved there year-round. Accurso and her husband, Vince, show me a black-and-white photograph, circa 1940. She taps her long fingernails on an image just inside the arched gateway with Fairyland spelled out in large black letters.
That's where we lived, in the office. See, you go in this gate, or you go in that gate. And then it was winter, yeah.
Her grandfather, Salvatore Sam Brancato, a Sicilian immigrant and successful businessman in Kansas City, opened Fairyland Park in 1923. You could get there on the streetcar for a nickel, and for just over a dollar, you could hear local and national musical performers. The smell of popcorn, the rattling of the wooden roller coaster, and the clanging of the carnival games made Fairyland a destination for the whole community. Accurso said kids were jealous. She started working there when she was 12.
Oh, I worked in the concession stands on popcorn and cotton candy and snow cones and worked some of the games.
Her brothers eventually took over the park, and through the 30s and 40s, thousands would flock to the open-air dance pavilion on sweltering summer evenings. Chuck Haddix, director of UMKC's Mar Sound Archives, wrote about Fairyland Park in his book on the history of Kansas City jazz.
During the summer, the two main ballrooms in Kansas City, the Playmore and the Auditorium, would shut down because they didn't have air conditioning. For local bands, Fairyland Park provided them with work all summer long, like Benny Moten and Jay McShannon. Ironically, they booked African-American bands when African-Americans were not allowed in the park.
Accurso says Fairyland wasn't the only institution excluding black people. Swope Park, she says, a public park, excluded African Americans from its swimming pool, and for picnics they were segregated to shelter number 5 on what was called Watermelon Hill. Accurso remembers conversations around the dinner table centered around the impact of integrating.
He thought that that was going to hurt business a lot with the whites. He owned it privately, and to be told that what you could do and what you can't do when you own something yourself, that's what was tough for him, you know.
Margaret May, an African-American who grew up in Kansas City, felt the sting of the discrimination personally. Her parents said if she couldn't go to Fairyland every day, she wouldn't go at all. Now that she's older, May says she understands her parents' position.
I, you know, told my parents, everybody else is going, why can't I? But as an adult, I can understand their reluctance. And again, when I became an adult, I didn't let my kids go.
Civil rights protests came to Fairyland as protests at Kansas City lunch counters and department stores downtown escalated. A group that was blocking the entrance to the park was carted away in a paddy wagon. The incident cast an unpopular spotlight on the segregated park, and after that, Mario Brancato had no choice but to open the doors to black people. It was 1964. With integration came white flight and declining attendance at the Eastside Park, much to Maria Accurso's regret.
They named it Fairyland, and it was like a fairyland, you know. That was the greatest thing that a young kid could want.
In 1974, Worlds of Fun opened. The state-of-the-art park created insurmountable competition for Fairyland. And in 1977, a tumultuous storm bent the Ferris wheel like a taco. It was the last straw in an escalating cycle of maintenance costs, and the family was forced to close the place down. More than 30 years later, Accurso still has vivid memories of her life at Fairyland Park.
When they'd close at night, they'd always... One song was Goodnight, Irene, which probably nobody even knows.
Irene,
goodnight, Irene, goodnight. Irene, goodnight.
Goodnight, Irene.
U.S. Route 71 eventually bisected the park in the 1990s. Today, Satchel Paige School and a youth facility run by the Kansas City Police Department share the land. Laura Ziegler, KCUR News.
If Irene turns her back on me, I'm gonna take more feeling down.